And we are back. No, what?
You know, you know how the podcasts are tracked, and then your count, your like goal is to get to a certain amount of podcasts.
That's Doug Wilkie talking in the background. You could. There's a mic if you'd like one. So Doug has an important question.
So my question is, what about people who are listening live and not downloading? Are they being tracked?
So here's the way this works for listeners who need to know and would like to know. So
can you slow the fan down? It's freezing.
Are you cold? Well, you're sitting also. I'll turn it down. All right. Here's the way that this works. So, and for you listeners who are going to download this and listen later, you'll may or may not care. So we have we broadcast for the 2 hours. We have live listeners who literally listen live as we go, and then what happens is the for hour three, it's only downloadable. So we record it. Just like we're doing now, we record the whole thing, and then it's only available if you click on and download. So there's no way that they can get any other way. So, but we track what they download. So we have live listener tracking. We can see who downloads.
That was my question.
Yes.
But live listening, is that
yes.
correct?
Live listening is tracked.
Tyler listening is tracking.
We can tell, and it's a website that Joe gave me, and I can't recall exactly what it is right off the top of my head. But there is a way we can click on and see who's listening live. And I forget what our highest number of live listeners was, but this show had the highest number of live listeners at one time as any show on the network.
That's one.
Then number two is we are higher download. That was the week where we had the 800 downloads, higher than any other show in 2 years of the network. Mm-hmm. In 4 months, we are higher downloads than anybody else.
Right. Okay.
So now we're just adding hour three because everybody wants hour three, but it's a challenge to fit that in programming.
Yeah.
So now my curiosity is this. Mm-hmm. Now that we have an hour that's just downloadable,
where will that hour go?
Right. Yeah. So the fun is to tease it during the 2 hours. If you want to hear more about, I'll go off on this. Because actually, Tyler wants you to go off more about movies for some reason.
Yeah,
he loves to hear you talk.
He was asking me about movies. Yeah. He likes that connection. So
with this, I know Buddy's got to bow out.
I'm going to dismount the show.
Now, what has to happen is the key. Marnie's got my key, so she can let you out. Okay. She can let you out, and she can lock the gate.
And she wanted me to let you know that she hasn't been able to use the ladies' room because there's like a key stuck.
I heard.
So she's been using the mystery.
Oh, I don't care. Who gives a shit?
I don't care. I'm like, what?
Well, Buddy Early, you'll be back with us next Tuesday.
I will.
Thank you.
God willing.
Buddy Early is leaving us. Let's
dismount. Dead or alive with Buddy Early next week.
Let's dismount Buddy Early.
Oh, if from our mouth to God's ears, right, Buddy?
Buddy, leave it open. Leave it open. We're this late in the show. Nobody's in the building. And if they are, they can join in.
Maybe a prostitute that walks by.
Well, could be. You never know.
I will not turn down a prostitute at this point.
Well, one has actually walked.
But apparently,
not the kind you'd want
to. And if you've had sex with one of them, you have to not donate blood for a year. From what I understand, these are things.
We're pretty much getting close to the prostitute phase of dating.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're pretty much down to like man for hire.
I'm with you on that one, Al. I have money and I can pay for what I want.
Exactly. I have a job. If I can,
I'm actually quite serious. No, about
yeah,
that.
I made my peace with it about 2 years ago. I'm just waiting to get a decent phone number. I'm just waiting for a coupon
I'd like
now.
A nice referral.
A Groupon, yeah, maybe.
A Groupon.
If you could get some sort of a happy ending at Massage Envy, you'd be good.
Oh, they're very strict about that, I guess.
Yeah. Al already tried that.
Nobody's happy at the end. Is that what it is?
No one.
No one is happy.
So I want to click back to, because we have that one gentleman in common.
This is going to be good.
No, but that's a really
there's
good.
There's your phone, Doug.
There's a really good example of taking... me at the height of BS West, when I was traveling to San Diego all the time, I was going to bars, drinking, dancing. I was a part of the community and working, and then dating somebody who was famous. You know, he was notorious for his own things.
Right.
Yada yada yada.
Right. Doug's going through the handouts.
I'll just check out for a minute.
Yeah. So
check out Marnie's special ones though, with the U-Haul truck and the Subaru logo.
Oh, those are hysterical. Oh, I know, he is lovely.
Yeah,
I just want to—I don't mean to interrupt you, Al, but I do want to say that last night while I was watching Tom Daly, I did feel a little bit like a child molester.
Why? He's 18.
Okay. Oh, I don't have to feel that way then.
No,
okay,
he's fine.
You still do.
No, you
if
he's half
right.
my age.
Go ahead, because I like what you're talking about.
If in West Virginia you can be his grandfather, then yes.
All right.
Sorry, what?
Go ahead, because I like this topic.
But the weird thing about that relationship was, and he very often came in to see me at the bar and would sit at the bar and had to put up with me, like, doing my version of flirting, which is,
ignoring
of course, which is talking about Dexter.
Right.
And he had to fit in his Yeah. He had to fit in his subtle ways of getting my attention over people flirting.
Okay.
You know, which was very, you know, he would make his things. So when we went to his world, when all of a sudden I went to L.A. and I stayed for a week in Santa Monica.
Uh-huh.
And I went to the rehearsals for his show.
You were odd man out.
Oh, sure, but again, I made friends with all of them. By the end of it, I was okay. Everybody's best friend and pen pal because it's still me. Like I know how to handle myself.
And they know
strangers.
Broadway,
right? Right. It was, we had topics to talk about. But at one point, I was sitting in the rehearsal hall, and he did a full on performance of, I want to say "Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me," but I don't think it was anything that cheesy. But there was a song in the show, and when it came time for his solo, where everybody else would just be like, "Well, I don't want to strain my voice. I'm really just going to mark the song." Oh, it was Bridge Over Troubled Water.
He could sell that.
He sold that song and just literally brought the house to tears. And it was one of those things that during a rehearsal when everybody pauses and gives a little applause because everyone wants to appreciate, like, okay, that was a little bit beyond what we were asking for this venue. And everybody was caught up in the moment. And the one girl leans into me. She's like, "That's for you." Like,
I'm sure it was.
He just wants to show you that he's in this world, right. He's in charge of.
Right.
But it's very hard when you make that thing of like, well, if we go here, we can get a free drink. If we go here, we can get a free drink. People know me here. I can get all kinds of discounts and go free, but we're never going to be on a date because to do that, I have to talk to the guy at Tico's that I know. I have to talk to the person at this restaurant that I know. I have to talk to the bartender. Like, you know, there's a payoff for every single thing. So by the end of a nice date where we had dinner and we did these things, we never had a conversation.
No.
Because I was busy paying for the meal in a different way.
Or he was interrupted every 17 seconds until a conversation was never viable.
Right. So then you have to take the date somewhere where no one knows you. Right. And that turns into an odd thing for both.
You know where that,
it's a weird dynamic.
You know where that wound up being for us? And oddly, I was there. I went to Gay Skate last Thursday night, as I've been doing, because it really is fun just to go. And not being on skates for 30 years, you know, this fat white guy.
I saw a great picture of you.
Going there. Like this?
Yeah, yeah. I love
it. I was impersonating somebody else. I don't skate like that, just to let you know.
Well, I'm glad for that point of clarification.
But what he and I used to do, oh my God, how many years ago? We're like 12, 13 years ago. We used to go to Oz. The bar, yeah. Oz. For those of you not in Central Phoenix, there's a bar here called Oz.
Right near my house.
And it's 10, 12 years ago, it was just a hole-in-the-wall bar that nobody knew of, and it wasn't there. Now it's renovated, and it's fun, and a lot of people go there. But we would go there because it was out of sight, out of mind. Nobody knew us. We could literally sit at the bar, and nobody talked to us. Nobody talked to us, so right. that was kind of what you're saying is you've got to go somewhere else. You've got to where nobody knows
your name,
right?
And it makes a difference when you're trying to have a date because now you have to invest in the date. The easiest date and the worst date at the same time is a movie. Going to a movie, you don't have to talk to each other. You don't have to engage. You have 90 minutes of sitting with someone that, in polite company, there's no interaction. So it's a fun date if the movie's good, but it's a shitty date if you want to get to know somebody.
It's the worst date for a first date if you only go to the movie and then go home because you just spent 2 hours with somebody and there was
no interaction.
But it's a good date if you go to dinner afterwards
to talk about the movie.
The movie.
Then you have, that's especially good for first dates because then it brings the nerves down because if it's a first date, you have something to talk about. That you just shared because you just watched the movie.
Right.
So it's a good warm-up.
Your opinion of this, what did you think, how did you react to that, blah, blah, blah.
And then you make sure you picked a good movie and like somebody didn't talk you into a Nicolas Cage movie that you're trying to kill myself right now. Well,
that's a date gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, before the entree comes, I'd like to be dead.
I wouldn't actually go on that date, but...
But sometimes somebody asks you on a date and they're like, oh, can I pick the movie? And you can't be like, oh,
yeah,
no, Nicolas Cage.
That's true.
Because then you're that person that just
said... Right, that asshole that's like, I only watch this kind of movie.
But I did break up with somebody who said they wouldn't go to a Woody Allen movie.
That is a deal breaker.
I cheated on them immediately and we broke up weeks later.
I would totally go to that. What I have an issue with is the gentleman that I have been texting back and forth with, he's like, I want to go see something about... Lincoln and Vampires something.
Uh-huh.
And I responded back, I have no idea what that is, but because it's you, I will go with you. And then there was silence for like 2 weeks. And I'm like, I'm sorry, this isn't a real movie. Sell me something more than that bullshit. Mm-hmm. And that's just how I feel.
Like, is this really something, and you would have to say, like, is this really a movie that you've been looking forward to for a long time?
Mm-hmm. Leave it open. What's
wrong?
Marnie's
the face?
Marnie's got an issue. Marnie's back in the studio.
Was this... it the key that it doesn't open the gate?
Yeah.
Why are you breathing? Why did you run?
Because I've been running because I was gone. Not that you'd notice.
Well, yeah. No, I know
we
should
notice.
No, I know you were gone.
No, was it, last week I got locked in here so long that somebody, I was trying to get out of that gate for so long that someone called the cops on me. And, like, the guy and the cops were, like, watching me to figure out what I was doing.
Clayton, you need to get the key.
You got
to
get the key fixed. It's terrible.
How come I can open it every time?
We went to this gate, then we went to that gate. We kept trying. We went to a third
gate. I tried all the gates last week, and I finally came back to this one. I mean, it was a very stressful night trying to find my keys anyways. Right. But it took me so long that I actually, like, cut my finger open on the key. And then when the cop is like, what are you doing in there? I'm like, I'm trying to get the fuck out. Yeah. Like, I'm not breaking in. Yeah. I'm trying to get out.
There was a guy walking, and Buddy and I were like, really? No, we're good. We're just trying to get out. And the
was it a hot guy jogger?
No. Oh. No. someone, I think, either broke something off in the bathroom for the girls' bathroom, like a key or something.
The key's fucked up.
You can't get in.
You know,
so
if this show was being broadcast out of the spare room, I don't have a spare room anymore, but if I did, this would be to eliminate all this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And that's a thought.
And the restrooms would be closer.
Mm-hmm. So, Clayton, was your question earlier, was it about fame? Is that what you were just talking about?
Not so much fame, but like notoriety.
Notoriety. Okay. Because I do have something to say.
Shocker. And that's weird. Why no, the question was this.
Well, you told me you were going to ask me about
it. Right. No, I did. No, I know. Okay. I know. I'm just giving you shit. No, the question is this, because so many... Where are you going?
To get ice.
Oh, okay. Just across the... For those listeners,
you're
just going across the room.
You can't break out, Al.
Right, no. Sorry.
You don't need a key for that.
You can't get out.
Jesus!
So the
you're trying. Oh,
my God. So the question was...
That's terrible.
You know what would have been funny, Marnie? If you would have called in, I could have put you live.
I swear to God, I had the wrong phone. No, we'll otherwise,
So the question, Doug, was this. So for those people who are... known in the community and or in any venue, in any scenario. So if you meet somebody, and let's say they meet you at a bar, and they don't know anything about your background, they don't know what you do, who you are, who you are to the community, how many people know your name, yada 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 yada, and then all of a sudden they realize, oh shit, 80% of people who walk by here stop and say hi Doug.
That happened. Blah, blah, blah. To me.
Okay, so that happened. So the question was, how have you dealt with a potential relationship, or have you had to just say ixnay on the relationship, because they can't handle the fact that people walk by you and just keep saying hi?
Well, I had a rather traumatic experience with that, with someone.
Traumatic is a big word to use.
Well, it was a little bit.
Okay. Right. I want to dismount that.
We're still using the drinking word,
Good. Okay. So there was a period of time, syncs up a little bit with Al, but with Al's period of time at BSOS, but maybe a little before. But so for me, I wouldn't say it was famous, but what I came to find out was that I felt a little the word I came to use was overexposed.
Yeah, yeah.
And this happened, you know, much
and that's
from
a,
my
there's
own
a
design.
Fine, fine line. Yes,
exactly. So, you know, I was going out six nights a week, right, for a long period of time, and of course knew everybody that, you know, worked there, you know, particularly, you know, very good friends with the owner. And so then when you go out and socialize in other places, owners know other owners, you get to know that. So kind of just being in a very small kind of I don't know, better incestuous, that's a bad way to say it, but
community,
just community, just kind of like knowing everybody all the time. And when you put that much time in, right, your people are just going to know who you are. And that's what happened. And so at first I kind of liked it, and I thought, well, this is kind of great, this is cool. But I did have one person who I really liked. Actually, this happened more than once, but the one that I really liked, he didn't like that. And he just said, I don't enjoy going. I like you, but I don't enjoy going out with you there. So he wanted to go somewhere else, Al. So like what you were saying, he actually liked that. He was like, I would rather just go to like – actually, like he did say this, Red Lobster for dinner.
The Swizzle.
And I was like, that's never going to happen. So we're going to do what I want to do and do this. This is what I do. And he was like, then I'm out. I don't like it. It's all it is. It's not fun for me. You're having fun. You know everybody. You're a socialite or whatever. And I think how I processed it was I kind of realized that wasn't such a great thing for me. So
wasn't a great thing for you, as in what you said to him in regards to the situation, or
wasn't a great lifestyle for me? And I thought I began to believe my own
PR,
and thought I was hot shit, and I really wasn't.
Okay,
or maybe I was, but the point was it wasn't very rewarding. So I know maybe other people might get something out of that, and I did, you know, but I felt like after looking back on it, I kind of regret. I feel like some of it was wasted time. To bring this show down.
We're not bringing it down. I regret
of that time. Like, I was like, geez, you know. But the trade-off was, it was so fun, too. Like, there was so
I
loved it.
And there's a time.
But I see the costs now. Like, I could have had a really great boyfriend with that. And I really liked him.
Yeah, but if somebody can't accept you and who you are, I have an issue with that.
No, what he was saying was very normal.
Was very supportive.
He wanted a normal person, and I wasn't one.
Well, wait a minute. If it's only because you're believing your own height. That's your deal.
But if you're not willing to say, then we don't have to go out. Like, if somebody says, I want to stay home, or I want to go somewhere else.
Right.
Yes, you're not dating Roscoe's.
Right.
Right.
You're not dating Roscoe's. So if he wants to go out and have a drink and spend time with you, but can we choose somewhere where we don't have to, like, talk to 8,000 people?
I agree with that. Okay.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And we ended up having to do that.
So to pass that blame is like, he doesn't like you for – you're not being who you are. But you're being Roscoe's supporter.
But here was the interesting
–
the interesting trade-off. We stayed home. In fact, I started staying home. We stayed home. We would go to just some small bar. Sometimes we'd just go to a straight bar. I've always liked straight bars. So we would go to a straight bar. Mm-hmm. But here was the problem. So I kind of felt like I'm compromising. I'm doing my thing. But even on the one or two times I wanted to go, he was like, I'm miserable. I don't like this. And I was like, well, you know, come on now.
There has to be a trade-off.
I've known these people for 20 fucking years, and I'm not going to say
– write them all out of my life. Right.
But my cute boyfriend doesn't like that I'm a – socialite or whatever the hell you want to call it. So that's what turned me off.
I'll give you the 2 points. Most of the time, that's just timing. That's just yours. And I think everyone does it. Some people just don't ever go through that bar phase.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just don't go through that phase of, like, the bar is exciting. It's what I want to do. It's a social life. Mm-hmm. It's a community. Some people don't go through that. And some people, you get to it, you peek out of it, and then you're like,
I peeked.
I mean, seriously, because there's nights where I'm like, there is absolutely, and Charlie's is a lovely place. I always have a good time. But there are nights that I'm like, there is nothing going to happen at Charlie's at 10 o'clock at night that is worth getting
that
off my couch
doing
for.
Anything
there's
for me.
No one cute enough, but I'm – and that's just part of being older, and I did my time in a bar. So in that phase of, like, it's just the wrong – it's not to say, like, he doesn't like you for who you are. They're just at a different place
that's
in their life where that's not what they're into, and they may never be.
That's very well said. The timing wasn't right.
The timing's just off, and, like
– I will say, Clayton, though, during that time when I peaked – well, that was the time that I spent a lot of time with you. As you said, we used to sit around and talk about other people.
We made fun of everybody.
Sure.
And I love that.
Absolutely.
But that's how all of you came in. Well, I knew you before the bar, but everybody else was from either drinking at the bar, which I did for 10 years, or then I did 10 years of working there.
Right.
But when I walked in, like, Mike made a big announcement. When they hired me, Mike made a big announcement on a Friday afternoon, like May 8th or something like that.
Or 9th.
Well, I just know because it was right by my birthday. So I was telling them, like, I need to go celebrate my birthday, so I'll work a shift for you, but then I'm going to San Diego and getting the fuck out of town. So we all agreed on this Friday afternoon shift. And Mike's like, there's somebody that's going to work here. You're going to know who he is. Try to be nice to him. And I walked out from behind the back door, and all the regulars were like, oh, no, not that one.
Not her.
Carl!
So I was the mean bitch that went from Wednesday to the bar, and they're used to their Friday afternoons with a very friendly Mike Fornelli, who knows their names and their lives, and he's so attentive.
More attentive.
He makes everyone feel like they're his best friend. Gets him in a lot of trouble with a lot of different people.
He's amazing. He really is.
He's amazing at what he does. And then you get me, who's like, oh, okay, you know, we can chit-chat and get your drink, but then I have a living to make here, so...
Right.
We're best friends for the next 30 seconds, and I'm going to see you later. Mm-hmm. I'm the checkout girl at Safeway. I always said that when I worked there. Like,
right.
Did you find everything okay? Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Move it right along.
If I have never seen you outside of here, then we are not friends. And because you said that one day, like, somebody asked you what you did at a restaurant, and I'm like, why would you ever think they would know what you did? Like, you were so offended that she asked what you... I come in here all the time. I don't... Like, Carlton knows what everybody drives. Carlton will be like, you know him, he drives a blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
no.
How the fuck do you know what car they got here in?
That's his OCD.
But that's his thing.
That's his OCD.
Right.
What you drink, but what
that
you
to
wear,
me is like some kind of miracle vision. Like, I don't.
He does.
It's uh-huh. You mean vodka tonic? Sure. Like, I know what I need to know about you to get through this conversation.
Absolutely.
I can't tune out fast.
Right.
Well, the other thing is, he's a very.
He loves cars.
Right. You can
but
give
how
a
do
shit.
You find that out you from inside the
color,
car?
You don't even know what color your car is.
Oh, wait. I just realized the answer to the question. He probably asks them.
Yeah.
Oh,
He engages them in conversation.
Yeah. Right. See,
just like if you were sitting with a guy.
I want to tell you that all these years of wondering this question, I just got it. I thought he followed each person to their car.
No.
No.
But you also know the same guy that drives the blue Mercedes that you don't know what he drives, you know what Broadway shows he's seen.
That's right.
That's true.
Everyone's same song.
Same song.
Yeah. So if you two ran a bar, you'd have the fucking world.
Oh, yeah. Because the idea of asking somebody what they drive, I would rather put a pencil in my eye.
Right. You just know that my truck looks white. That's all you know.
Yeah, and sometimes I change that color. That's at 9:28 in the p.m. I've been out there 5 or 6 years. I just realized how Jason Carlton knows what people drive.
That's exactly
that's
it.
Funny.
That he asks them.
He engages them in conversation that you do too, but on a different topic.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it would never even occur to me to ask
But we're also
them
not going to eliminate that he's either drank with them or slept with them. We're not going to eliminate that either.
Oh, no.
Or slept in their car.
Good case in point. He slept in the trunk of his own car. I've heard several times.
I know that. He likes
didn't
the
he that one show he was supposed to be here?
No, yeah. I put him in the trunk of my car. I put him in the trunk of his car once. Yeah.
But Al, he asked to be put there. That's what I love about that. That's his comfort zone.
It's like his panic room.
Yes. It's a panic room. Can I go in my panic room, please? That is so funny.
That's good.
It really is.
But that tells you the level of my disinterest. The thought of asking somebody what they drive has never even...
Well, you're not a car person.
But it's never even flown into my radar as something to ask.
I think that's because you mentioned the color of his car. He brought it all together.
I would never think to ask somebody what shows they've seen or what their political... Mm-hmm. Well, political somebody will a little bit. Yeah. Right, what movies you've seen. Because everybody who brings up a movie, yeah, I'm missing.
Well, I mean, I would never walk up to somebody and be like, what Broadway shows have you seen? But we're in show tunes night and be like, have you ever seen this?
I have 9 vacuums and 24 lawnmowers. How about you?
I'm going to get back. I'm going to come right back to that.
Okay, good.
But with you, I
actually have a lawnmower topic.
And you don't even have a fucking lawn. I'll get right back to you. Actually, there's a lawnmower down the street I want to steal because it's been in their yard for 3 weeks. I'm like, does it not run? I'll fix it.
We drag so much shit home from here.
I can believe it.
No, but I had a thought in regards to you. Even though, I'm just going to assume, most of the people that were on your shift were regulars. Like, you'd see them every Friday. So there were long-term conversations, though they may have been, a partial of it was this Friday and the next Friday, yada, yada. So where are you from? What do you do? Where do you live? What do you do?
You're on to something.
So all of that lineage of knowing these people, you learned what you learned. Same song.
Oh, yeah, because my Monday afternoons, I knew, like, their wives' names, because most of them were, like, married straight guys. I knew their wives' names. I knew everything like that.
So this is what I want to say. So you remembered that stuff, right?
No.
No? Okay. Because I think...
I would know to ask, like, is your wife better? Like,
because
she was
I want to qualify something that you said earlier. The reason that I may have been upset with someone that didn't know what I did is because they had probably asked me that 20
and
fucking times
and
before.
And you'd had a conversation.
And I was sick of answering the fucking question. What do you do there? Well, you know what? I answered that 20 times. So I'm not going to, if you're not going to remember, then don't ask me what restaurant I work at.
Right.
Because you don't care what the fucking answer is, so
you and Al don't work at the same restaurant.
No,
and I get that because that's another one
of
those.
Don't ask them.
But that's another question that very rarely ask anybody what they do because they don't ask.
But and I seriously don't mean to dismount this entire conversation. But what is it you do, Doug?
Well, I don't work in a restaurant now.
Oh.
But you know what I do.
Yeah.
No, but I don't remember.
I change people's lives.
Oh, that's right. Should we go to lunch?
He's on Millionaire Matchmaker.
Yeah.
So yes, he is.
But that's one of those things, I would keep my conversations with them to stuff that there was a shot I would give a shit a week later.
This big. Like.
Oh, yeah. It was a very small box. And most of the time, I kept a movie on in the bed because I worked Monday afternoons. Mm-hmm. Or Tuesdays was either
there
show
was
tunes or queer as folks. There was so that we could talk about. And we had our standards like Will and Grace this week. Like, I kept it to, like, pop culture of what's happened this week. Because I honestly don't give a shit.
That's a great thing, though. You keep it light.
Keep it light. Fun. Because mostly I don't care.
Like, right.
I always hate to say that about
can,
people.
But you like, can do that and not show. Care.
Sure. Right. But I usually keep things at a level like this because I'm like, I'm never going to remember. Like my friend Gina, I vaguely can explain to someone mm-hmm. what she does, but I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. Who's Gina?
Like one of my best Gina. Friends since childhood New that York. I talked about. Yeah. But she's that's one of those people that has that same thing.
We need to get her to listen in.
She does. Oh, she listens.
Oh, good.
Hi, Gina. I don't know about this part, but that's one of those things where, like, oh, I'm not really sure. She explains it, but halfway through, I'm like, oh, does it have a one-word title?
and hers doesn't.
Can it, like, accountant? You know what I mean? Like, can you make it get it down to something I care about?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Payroll manager.
Or over
Let's
there.
Let's not call me that. Yeah. That makes me cry.
Can we call you the payroll bitch?
What are you?
It makes me cry.
All right. So, what was your lawnmower story?
Yeah. Oh,
so
me.
On Facebook, there was. I think you've seen this. This has been going around the last couple of months. The click this if you're old enough to know what this is. Well, and it's like a skate key, and it's like a
cassette tape with the pencil.
Yeah, right. And they're great. So you know they're it's fun enough, right? And I was looking at – there was one. It was a lawnmower, but it was before the electric or gas kind. It's just a blade kind that you
– Oh, yeah. A real mower.
So here was my question. I saw that, of course, thought of you immediately. And I thought, I wonder if Clayton McKee owns one of those.
I don't own a real mower, however.
Have you ever had one?
I had one before.
I didn't – I personally didn't own it, but my grandparents that owned the nightclub, mm-hmm. They had – a real mower and mm-hmm. I remember mowing the yard with it when I was a little kid, and it's obviously, you know, you push it and the wheels propel the blade and it just kind of slices up the stuff. But they also did
be
have
exhausting.
No, it was it you really mm-hmm. did. But if you look back at like the old like Little Rascals and all those old movies, that's all they had.
Oh no
so
yeah,
they would push that. They, mm-hmm. you know, the little kids would mow the lawns for a nickel or whatever bullshit mm-hmm. they did. That's the mower we're talking about. That's
yes,
a, it's
exactly.
a real mower. But that those grandparents also had a 1972 Lawn Boy mower, and that I used to mow the lawn with. Once I figured out that, oh, wait a minute, this you have to push this, but this one runs on its own. Yeah, I was done. So literally, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, I was mowing the lawn with that. But no, I don't own a real mower, but I know of a real mower.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Now I do own an electric mower, though, as well.
Uh-huh. I'm so afraid of electric lawnmowers.
Why? I have an electric
mower. I don't like them.
An electric appliance on like wet them. Grass? My fear of being electrocuted? Absolutely not.
I just don't like them. I've used them. I just don't like them.
I don't care for them either. I inherited it. Remember a few weeks ago I talked about the lady who was the last original owner on my block? Dorothy?
Oh, yeah.
Dorothy, who I used to mm-hmm. do a lawn, and she'd pay me in Oreo cookies. She gave me... And
an Oreo cookie.
I looked it back, and it's a 1972 Sunbeam electric lawnmower that her husband used to use.
Okay.
Wow. And I have it. So I have an electric mower, but I prefer to use the gas powered ones, regardless of the environmental.
And, you know, and my fear of all things gas related too, because I think that everything's going to blow up that's gas related. But on the lawnmower topic, it's got to be gas. Like I do not want to watch you fry in my front yard.
No, we need the power.
Yeah. No. When I had the gas, because my stove is now gas and my hot water heater is mm-hmm. gas. For about a year, I thought the house was blowing up every single day. Like, every time I smelt the hot water heater kick in and go to gas, right. I was, like, opening up windows and doors and getting my evacuation route
evacuate!
Ready. Well, it's all going to blow! But
every time I've ever mowed your yard, Al, I've used a gas mower. So just if that makes
sense. Oh, and if I'm not, yeah, exactly. I mean, because I got the windows, so if you fry out there, I'm not coming to help you. I won't know till my, you know, till my alarm goes out.
You wake up. Who's the dead guy? Oh, that's Clayton. Well, no show this week.
I'll just wake up to like smells like bacon. Who's cooking?
Oh, do we have any other hard hitting issues to hit? We got 20 minutes.
I do want to say something. I know it's the Olympic theme night, and I wanted to catch up.
Inadvertently, it's just that they happen to be on.
All right. So, because I was listening in earlier, and Buddy was talking about it, and we're talking about how NBC made that statement about how we can't move time and space.
Oh, that was from the Onion. Right.
That was a bullshit story that I threw in.
But here's the thing: NBC actually did make a very nasty statement. To social media people, which I thought was
do we know what that is?
Big mistake. Well, I'll tell you what happened. It was last night. Missy Franklin won her first gold.
Right.
So they knew that 8 hours earlier when it happened. So I shit you not, this has happened. So 2 minutes before the rebroadcast in prime time of her doing that, NBC ran a promo commercial that they had cut earlier in the day, and it was her saying, in the beautifully lit, and she's saying, "I won my first gold medal." Well, if you follow swimming and know that she's not won a fucking gold medal ever,
then you knew that it was coming that night.
Yeah.
2 minutes. Yeah. Before the race, 7 minutes later, she went. So their people went ballistic. Mm-hmm. Like, thanks a lot, NBC. Don't run a fucking promo that ruined the race for me. Right. And their response was, well, if people are going to be on social media and, you know, that's your problem. Okay. Mm. That was – so it had nothing to do with – and that's fine. I mean, they might have a point there, a stupid point, but, you know, because I've been avoiding it all day long. You know?
Yeah.
But the point was your –
you're the problem. Primetime
broadcast isn't social media.
No, and neither is
it's NBC.
Right. It's a broadcast.
And don't run a fucking commercial with the winner with the saying who won the race.
And neither is Channel 12.
They're handling it very poorly. Yeah.
Channel 12 that half hour before where they're like telling you they tell you the winners.
I know.
Well, then why would I tune in?
I know.
Why would you tune in for the rest of the goddamn show if you just tell me all the winners?
It ruins it.
Yeah, it does. That's complete. Complete bullshit.
So that's all. I just wanted to bitch about that.
Oh, that's quite all right. No, I have no issue with
but
that.
But the other problem with that is your New York feed for live shows, because award shows are not live. Aside from the only the Oscars are live, and now the Golden Globes just switched to live. And sporting events are like the Super Bowl, the World Series, those things are all done live. But most award shows are tape delayed or taped to fit our time frame to get us in prime time. But the Oscars come on at 5 p.m. because that's 8 o'clock New York time.
Right.
But remember, even when we would watch the Oscars, we always watch it a little late because we want to skip through the commercials. And remember, even the last Oscar night when you were like, Clayton, stay off that damn phone. Because people were blowing up the phone like, I can't believe so-and-so won. Right, and we're like, we're 20 minutes behind the real time. So
no phones.
No
that happened with – the first time that really happened was the Cardinals in the Super Bowl.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That we were a few – and we weren't as far behind as we thought we were. We thought we had fallen maybe 15 minutes behind. But we're only about three. So we had the windows open. It was a beautiful January day. Yeah. And I lived in an apartment complex. There were screams going up. And we were like –
why is everyone screaming?
But we didn't. But we didn't know, and you couldn't tell the tone of the screams because
was it good or bad?
Right. But Pittsburgh fans are also very prominent out here in
Arizona.
And
a lot of them live here.
And a lot of them live here, so you weren't sure what the screams were for. And that was when we had to, because someone knew the winner and said, "Oh, I know how this ends." Mm-hmm. And seriously, you won't find that body.
Yes,
he has not been seen since.
And you shouldn't.
And you shouldn't. And that's when I started like, if you're gonna Twitter and do your shit, then sit there and shut the fuck up. But this is not like spoilers here are not appreciated.
Well, and to bring up maybe this, because then we have maybe this will be royalties. But Brendan Robin, you know, during football season, we watch the Vikings. All the time.
Shocker.
Weird. And there are times that they can't come over until later. Like, well, whatever. It's the weekend. So I have DirecTV. We DVR it. Excuse me. And we have it all DVR'd. And people are texting me, "Oh, my God, wasn't that a great play? Oh, my God, did you see that? Oh, my God, yay, Vikings." Shut the fuck up.
Right.
So I do the same thing you're doing tonight. Stay away from my phone. I'm like, please, dear God, don't let this be something big.
I'm so good at the full media blackout. Because honestly, I mean, I don't have a job where people are calling me for anything. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm actually on call, and then I will cheat on anything I have to. But if I'm not on call,
But I'm on call 24/7, and I have these two phones. So I have to sit there and look and be like, oh, it's Clayton texting. And there was one time.
I know exactly. I hear a second.
There was one time. We had watched the whole thing. It was Clayton. It's not going to be a goddamn thing about football. Mm-hmm. Except that day. And all of a sudden, we're like, there are 5 minutes left in the game. We have no idea. It's a fucking nail biter. And Clayton is like, oh my God, great game. Yay, Vikings. Jesus! You know, what the hell was that? And it was so cute of him that I wasn't even mad. I was so excited that he was like talking football, you know, on the text.
And even for the couple years that American Idol was like event TV, like no spoilers. And it's harder with East Coast friends because
AI is so not American Idol anymore.
No, by the way, what do you guys think about the Mariah Carey signed?
I think that's a great person for that. I mean, she writes. She can, you know, whether or not you enjoy her music,
I think she sounds like a fucking aviary. Is what I think. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, sounds like a goddamn bird chirping all over the place.
No,
Well done, yeah, Clayton.
That was nicely done.
And I don't have a career.
If I was ever in a studio with Mariah Carey, I would say to her, right, just because you can hit that note doesn't mean you should hit that note.
Correct.
Shouldn't sing.
Yeah.
But I've always
been. She needs to shut the fuck up, but her husband is funny.
But I gotta tell you, but when she gets it right, and she has, there's probably like maybe seven, we'll say seven.
I appreciate the whole Vision of Love thing from back in the day, but it's the aviary at the end.
There's like
a great song.
I hate the chirping.
I'm gonna punch you in the face.
But she's got like seven.
I know.
There's like seven songs of hers that I get it. I like it.
I think she's a hugely talented person.
No, I do too. I mean, I never want to take away from her talent. And same with Whitney Houston. Mm-hmm. I think she sang every song like the fucking national anthem.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, it's just not going to inspire me to buy a record.
I want to say one more thing about East Coast Feed. Because you have to be careful now, I've noticed, on Sunday nights. Because I watch HBO in high def, right? But there is an East Coast Feed.
Right.
Or maybe they're just watching it.
No.
Anyway, the problem is Matt Maraska. But
yeah, no.
Well, he will watch True Blood. And he's like, I can't believe so-and-so got killed tonight. I'm like, well, thanks a fucking lot. So now I gotta know when to black out.
It's the same concept for me with all my Minnesota folks. Like, they put things on there, and I'm like,
I do a Sunday night media blackout, too.
Okay, that's what I've had to start doing.
When I watched American Idol, I did a media blackout for that. Like,
you've got to do that, because I feel like I'm going to use one of the phrases that you or expressions that you use. These are white women problems.
Yeah.
If you're bitching about the fact that a good friend of yours who's in New York who happens to see something earlier tweets it and you happen to see it, you've set yourself up for failure because you subscribe to their feed, so you can't really bitch about it.
You're absolutely right.
But if you're doing what you do, Al, and you're just like, okay, on X day, it's whatever day, and this event's on, I'm not going to watch.
That's
anything.
Now I know Sunday night I don't Facebook until I've watched all my shows.
Okay, and so if you've managed a plan of how you're going to do this, because I subscribe to everything aside from ESPN. I subscribe to CNN and NBC and all these things. So I'm getting barraged with shit. Granted, I don't give a goddamn who won what on the Olympics, blah, blah.
But you're plugged in.
I just want to see this. I just want to see this boy show up somewhere close to where I am. So, I don't care about that one so much. But anyway, where's Lewis Smith? Here. Keep going. Lewis Smith?
No.
I have no idea who that is.
Count on me.
Thank you.
That's our boy.
I do want to ask a question about his bulge, though, because that was in the chat room earlier tonight.
Oh.
Did I miss something? Because I don't see anything going on.
No. The chat room was about the fact that they kept putting... So he kept kind of playing with himself.
Oh.
But then they would do this funny thing where they would put the scores across his crotch, so it made it look dirtier.
Yeah.
Like his hand
Hiding porn.
Like they're hiding porn. That's what we're talking about. But the one guy, two guys from the American team. One
Dan Bedaya. Did you notice that his swimsuit was smaller than the other guy's?
Yeah, not only smaller, but he was filling it out.
I know.
And when he would get ready to dive, he would keep his hands.
He would keep his hands over it.
Cupped over.
I noticed that too.
And the one, I think he's black, gymnast. He changes while keeping his crotch covered the other time.
Yep.
All the other gymnasts completely disrobe down to their onesie.
Thankfully.
And then put their pants on and they're oh, my God. I got you. I was thinking the other way. He sits down and covers his crotch and is very discreet about it. I'm like, let's see that business.
I don't want any discretion.
Because that onesie is so tight there. Oh, and some of
those
boys.
Little singlets or something else.
You can tell when one of them comes out and they're packing heat because you're like, you must be very popular in the showers.
Well, those divers, that doesn't leave anything to imagination.
Luckily, the water's cold, so they have a little bit of modesty there. But what are you doing?
Nothing.
I am on board, Al, with that thing that I sent you where after they get out, they go into that where the little
shower.
The shower.
Right.
And this one puts on a little show.
Yeah.
He's all.
But they
where are you going, Martin?
While you boys are talking about this kind of shit, I'm going to go to the loo.
Okay. Wait. Yeah. You need keys?
No.
You got a code?
I'll figure it all out. I got phones.
She's got to pack a lunch to go to the bathroom.
I'm like you with politics. I'm
she tuned out. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop talking
about
it.
She shut the door on the studio, too. So that's all right.
She's mad.
We'll keep going.
Oh, well.
You saw the Subaru in the U-Haul truck, didn't you?
I do. Maybe she would have stayed if we would have talked about that.
Or today's soup special at the Olive Garden. Okay, so the other thing I want to talk about is, sorry, Tyler, I didn't see any movies this week because of the Olympics, but Newsroom on HBO did a very...
Wasn't that a great episode?
Very good episode. Yep. And Jeff Daniels is talking about not being able to sleep, and he's having these problems, and there's like three stories. It's the day that the... Is it that BP blew up?
Yes. Well,
No. It's the tsunami.
Fukushima.
It's the tsunami in Japan mixed with Rick Santorum announcing his presidential candidacy, and then an anchor on the show gets sick, and Jeff Daniels can't sleep. And through the whole thing, there's all these stories going on about, and it was just all this stuff, and you can't figure out what he's upset about. Did he give someone bad advice? Did he go too far with one story? And then they finally cut back to he was interviewing a black man who was endorsing Santorum for his candidacy.
Black and gay.
I was saving the gay for the kicker.
I'm sorry. Right. I ruined the punchline.
We have a new spoiler.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So this is
what you were waiting for last week.
Yeah. So the guy is black and gay, and he won't let him off the hook because he's endorsing Santorum. So no build up there. So he bullies him and calls him out. So there you go.
But it was really nicely. You don't know who the bully's going to be. And if you were watching, because I love this, and shows used to always do this, and they don't anymore. They TV shows used to title their episodes. Well, they all title. Actually, here's a little known trivia fact.
All
shows have a title.
Right. No,
but,
I knew that.
But they don't put them on the TV, right?
You don't get the title card.
But Newsroom does. And so the title was Bullies. And I thought, I wonder what this is.
Maybe bullies.
And all night, but that was it. That's what Al was saying. All night, you're like, but who? You know. And they give you some scenarios. And you know what's interesting? There were several bullies in that show.
Yeah.
Because Sam Waterston bullied Sloane Sabbath.
Yeah.
She bullied the guy on the air. Will McAvoy bullied the Santorum guy. They were all bullies.
They were all big bullies. But the fact that he was kind of like the black guy clearly was not out as being gay, and he was just hammering home. Like, how can you support him? And to the people watching, it was because, you know, you're a black man. How can you go with the Republican Party? But then it turns out he was obviously somebody who everyone knew was gay but was keeping it quiet. And he was just hounding him home. And finally, the black guy's like, you will not define me by one thing.
Which was a great answer.
Answer of like, you're not going to assume something because of a label. And that was the whole point of the civil rights movement, was you're not going to say, I'm black, so I do this.
Or I'm gay, so I do this.
He's like, so you don't get it. He's like, and I may be voting on a single issue, but unfortunately, my issue is pro-life.
Right.
So he was pro-life, regardless of his... politics on either other thing,
that
he
was
pro-life, and so Santorum was the most pro-life candidate, so he was sticking with him, but they were assuming he was lying about his issue because he wasn't admitting to who he was.
Or they were trying to put him in a box.
In a box, and it was a very interesting...
It was a sucker punch that you didn't see coming, because I think viewers of the show are probably sympathetic to the more liberal, and so as it's going on, you're like, oh, go, anchor, go, rip him up, fuck him up, you know? And then that guy at the end was like, how dare you define me by one issue? Which is exactly what was happening, and it really made me think, like, God, how many times do I do that?
Yeah. And that's what I was saying.
Are you a bad gay? Because, you know, there are gay people that are pro-life, not pro-abortion, but they can still be gay and pro-choice. Black and whatever.
No one's pro-abortion.
pro-choice, right. So
unless you swallow.
Yeah.
But that's not even abortion.
You can be anti-choice,
The
point is, you can be gay and anti-choice, and we shouldn't just throw you out the window.
And I just had that, like I said, I had that long conversation with that guy about the Chick-fil-A thing and his coming at it from the First Amendment thing. And I had to give it to him. Like, yes, the mayor of Boston has no place saying you can't have a Chick-fil-A here.
None.
That's really inappropriate. You can't disagree
with
somebody.
Although he backed that up. It's Rahm Emanuel that fucked up bad in that crowd, the Chicago crowd. Mayor Menino in Boston backed it up and said, "Wait, I'm sorry. They can come here. We're not going to do the stop the building."
Oh, right.
The alderman in Chicago said, "No, we're stopping the." And that's not.
But
okay.
he went with the same ban that they use on adult bookstores and adult movie theaters, saying the adverse effect on the neighborhood.
Well, that is an interesting point.
So I mean, it's really kind of funny to use the Christian rights thing against, because that's what the Christian right always uses about banning bookstores. Like, they always say
like
that.
I like
now
that.
You're throwing that right back in their face. So then I'm like, oh, okay, that's a scroll.
Now I'm in.
Yeah. Because now you're telling them the adverse effect is you have a bunch of haters here in the neighborhood and we don't want that.
totally it's off topic, except for the bullying reference. What's the name of the black guy? P.L. Hughley?
D.L.
Hughley. I channel surfing. I woke up early this morning, and I'm channel surfing and on CBS This Morning with Gail King, who apparently needed a job.
And I'm glad they gave her
a tragic show. Anyway, he was on. He has a new book, and I forget what the name of the book was, but I think it's Audacity of something. Anyway, he was talking about the fact, and I can't wholeheartedly disagree with this. He was talking about the fact that bullying has its place. And I listened, and the second that started, I'm like, you got my ear. And the fact of he and... I don't think you can disagree with this wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you are a whatever you are in whatever city, and somebody is browbeating you about X, Y, and Z. Those critiques, those bullies make you, in some cases, I'm not painting with a broad brush. I'm saying in some cases, make you stronger, make you fight harder, make you do.
I would agree with that.
So, honestly, I don't know why, I never thought of it like that. Though, you could probably say that I was, in some cases, bullied as a child. I don't think any of us could say we weren't. Were our ears too big? Was our hair too long? Was our nose funny? Did we look cross-eyed?
Are you gay?
Are you gay? Are you heavy? Are you skinny? Are you gay? Right. There's so many different things. Now...
He says on here, it can teach you about yourself.
Right. Totally can.
I don't believe it's a good thing. I think it can teach you about yourself, so, he says.
I would never say that I was bullied from the standpoint of I took it in and I tolerated it and it was what it was. And I realized, to me, it was sort of, I learned how to pitch and pivot and figure out where I needed to go and what I needed to do.
What I hear you saying is you dealt with it too.
Dealt with it, right.
Which a lot of people just don't have the tools for, and that's the danger, or the bullying can get so cruel and go so far that these people the people being bullied aren't asking for help or don't have somewhere to go to find some kind of refuge, and that's the problem is when it's relentless. Mm-hmm. And then if they go home and they're getting the bullying from their parents.
From their parents, too.
Because the parents have that same view of what's wrong with them. Like the parents are calling same them mentality. Stupid or fat. And And you're in
using
that
such an ignorant word like retarded.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But honestly.
Which I used last week.
Honestly.
But
I was
quoting someone else.
It does just as much damage, if not more, to call a child stupid. I think calling a child stupid does more damage because retarded, they're like, well, I'm not retarded.
Actually, it's the same thing.
Right. But you could say to them, but the kid could know, like, well, I'm not retarded. Like, there's nothing mentally or
For that same ignorant kid is using the word retarded as stupid in place of it.
But that's what I'm saying. But so, I mean, both words have that same power, right? They have a very evil power.
I think what Gail Hughley is saying is he's addressing there's a pendulum, right?
Yeah.
Where things can swing too far. And one of the fears I have about the bullying thing, and that's probably where he's going with this, is are we going to get to a point where no one can ever say anything about anything
right,
ever?
You can never say anything derogatory or...
And the analogy I would use, because this has been a big issue of mine for a number of years, is sexual harassment. And so you reach a culture, seriously, you're going to like the analogy.
Sure I will, because if part of they were asking for it, well, as part of
this. No. All right.
Have you seen this picture? Because I can show you.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying what now comes under the umbrella of sexual harassment, and I have encountered this in, count them, my current job and the two I had before this, to the point where one person in a 72-employee company said, someone said a dirty joke in front of me. And we had to change the policy of the culture of the company of 71 other people because of one person.
Right.
Okay, why don't you not work in a fucking restaurant then if you can't handle that? So I think that's
talking about somebody's beef.
Yeah, yes. So don't you go work somewhere else? But we're not going to change the culture for 71 other people. Right? And that's what I think so, for instance, a woman is like, a guy says something in the hallway to a woman. Is the answer you run down to HR and go, oh my God, I can't deal with it? Or maybe if you're a woman in the 21st century, you say, you know what, fuck you. And if you ever say anything like that to me again, either I or a man I know will knock your fucking teeth out.
Or a man I know.
So, or my husband, right? My father, my brother, my uncle, my cousin – will fuck you up. Yeah. So how about do it that way? But running to HR and now, oh my God, we can't ever. We all have to tiptoe around on eggshells because Rosie, who answers the phone, thinks that maybe you shouldn't say that. I'm not. I don't want to live in a world like or that work in a world
the,
like that.
The baseline, which is a problem.
And the baseline keeps shifting.
Absolutely, the and the baseline.
So now I got to put up with the jokes. Now I got to put up with the gropings. Now I got to put up with this. And everyone says I need to toughen up and take it, which is fine. For in an adult situation, if it's not a power struggle.
If you're uncomfortable, fucking say something.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
We had an employee.
But when you go to a degree that it's if it makes you uncomfortable, you should say something. So it goes back to that.
But if
and
you're,
as
yeah,
much
you should
as
say
each person, 100 people. Well, no, because that person may be in a state of power. And so then I've now said that to you. I personally am in line with you. I think really shut the fuck up and suck it up. But that's just me.
And then there's perceived power, too, where somebody has more influence at work.
Absolutely.
Where someone just has that little bit more say with the manager. So, yes, in technical, we're equals. But they're friends with the manager. So I really can't say something about
it. And if I just let this one thing go, like, meh.
Yeah, where do I
stand
up for myself?
Where do I draw the line? Where's my baseline? And I keep letting that
go. And with bullying, it's one of those things where the bullied child, if they don't have somewhere to turn or someone to ask for help, that's where you get into these situations, or like the kid in college.
Right.
If you reach that point and you're exploring.
Tyler Clemente.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you reach that point of your sexuality where you're going to step out and do something, and then someone adds like horrible humiliation on top of it.
Yes.
Then you finally made a step out. Yeah, you're just at that point of like, well, I tried, and look how this ended, so why not just end it? Because now that's what sex is to me. Sex now is to me, somebody's going to videotape it.
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
There was
no pleasure remembered in that.
Clayton, D.L. Hughley's book is I Want You to Shut the Blank Up, How the Audacity of Dopes
is Ruining That's what I was saying.
America. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, I want you to shut the fuck up.
I'm glad you brought that up, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think
Who posted that?
This, I just went on to DL Hughley.
It's called the internet.
I've heard of it.
I love that you're the
apparently
official
the show
internet.
Is broadcast
every person, whoever you are, is going to have a fight, physical, emotional, Hughley said. You are going to have to get through something or someone, whether you want to or not.
Right.
You have to lose to win. You have to understand who you are and what capacity you have, and nobody teaches you that like an adversary.
Yeah.
And to bring it back to the Olympics, I hope that the boys last night, as upset as they were by those fuck-ups, and like two of them kept a good attitude, or actually three of them kept a good attitude and kept
fighting.
You're
talking about the American boys?
The American boys. And then the two that had the bigger mistakes, the one was inconsolable. Like, he had a towel over his head. He could not stop crying.
The young black kid?
No, the young black kid. The other black kid was stoic. He was crying, but he was very stoic about it.
His story was amazing.
He just could not cope. It was him. Sure. If you did the math, his two fuck-ups cost them the points. But you would hope they're both in the individual. They both have their chance to medal singly. Hopefully they'll use that to their advantage. Okay, you've had a loss, you've had a humiliation on international stage.
Move on.
We're going
to
be good.
No, but maybe it'll give them something to grow from. Yeah, not move on, but take something from it. Like, you need a little adversity. If all you did was win, how would you know the joy of it?
That's exactly right.
You
can't.
Right.
There's no dark without light. There's no day without night. You can't win without losing. It's the show with Clayton.
You can't mount without dismounting.
Atta girl.
You suffered through another 3 hours. This is hour three. It's the show on Q Talk Air America. Thank you for listening.
Air America.
I don't fucking know. We'll see you next week. Bye. Everybody say bye.
Good night, then. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Good night.